Welcome to the Teaching in Medicine podcast, where we explore effective teaching of the healthcare providers of tomorrow. I am your host, Dr. Kathleen Timmy. All right, welcome back to the Teaching in Medicine podcast. We are here with Dr. Farber and Dr. Donahue. If you haven't checked out part one of our interview, please check that out before listening to this episode. Today, we are going to focus on a fascinating elective that they created addressing pandemic medicine and quality improvement. So welcome back to the podcast. It's good to have you on again.
Thanks for having us back.
So tell us about this pandemic elective. Can you describe what you've created?
Yeah, so this was an elective that we created for medical students. It was actually first through fourth year medical students. It was 1 month long. And it was entirely virtual. So the goal was to fulfill a ACGME elective requirement and offer them an opportunity to be involved, but keep them out of the hospital. So the elective was 4 weeks long, and each week they had a different deliverable related to patient safety. And so for week one, they would identify a problem and develop a process charter. Week two, they would do a literature review. And then develop a process map. Week three, they designed a PDSA cycle. And then week four, they presented their final project in a mini research symposium. In order to fully integrate them into the hospital's response to COVID, we had them attend all meetings with our incident command center. So they really got an inside look at what was going on. And then based on what they saw in the incident command center, as well as some background lectures and readings, they were able to develop a project and develop the full implementation without actually going into the hospital to implement it.
So it's a QI curriculum, but really taking advantage of the current environment and focusing on possible solutions to improve care during the pandemic?
Yeah, exactly.
Great. And then was it available to medical students like all years or only third and fourth years?
We've done it twice. The first month, we just had it available to third and fourth years. But then the second month, we opened it up to all years. So I had first through fourth years in that group.
And how many learners did you have per elective?
I had 16 each session. So there were four groups of four. And they all worked in teams of four on this project. So there's a lot of team learning happening.
Great. And looking at your syllabus, it seems like you're very thoughtful about gathering different educational material, providing it in different formats to really get them ready for those deliverables each week. Can you walk us through some of the material that they had at their fingertips to learn about quality improvement?
Yeah. So the course started with two lectures, one by Dr. Nidhi Goyal, who's one of our QI gurus at our hospital, and one by Dr. Ribsey, who's a specialist in disaster medicine. So those sort of provided the basic foundation for the course. We had them do some modules from the Institute for Healthcare Improvement. We had them listen to a few different podcasts on disaster medicine, and then there was a collection of readings from different resources on both quality improvement and disaster medicine.
One thing I love about this curriculum is you're taking advantage of high quality vetted resources that are already out there and just kind of centralizing them for your learners. I'm working on a new trainee as teacher curriculum that's going to be online and asynchronous. And I'm thinking about, oh, wow, I have to create videos on this and create videos on that. But really, there's so many out there already. This is a good reminder to, you know, take advantage of what already exists and point your learners in that direction rather than reinventing the wheel.
Yeah, I think that's especially true, especially because this curriculum had to go up pretty quickly. You know, they think that the medical school closed on like a Wednesday and they were looking for elective opportunities that could start on Monday or Tuesday. So it had to be turned over immediately. So utilizing what was already in existence was critical for us to be able to do this.
So walk me through how you worked with that timeline. So how did you move from this idea to a fully functioning curriculum in such short notice?
So we had already had a clinical patient safety elective that existed at the university. And then I had previously developed as part of my master's program, a quality improvement project kind of guideline for residents So I did have some materials that were already happening. So we pulled some from what was already in existence and put it together. And then there was a lot of late night hours in those 5 days that it had to come alive in.
And it seems like a key part of the program are the group facilitators. So Dr. Farber, you were one of the group facilitators, is that correct?
Yes, I was.
So can you tell me what that role was like and, you know, how did you prepare to become a group facilitator?
So as a group facilitator, I met with the small group of 4 students each week. Advise them each week on the deliverables that they had. I actually sat in and listened to Dr. Rivesy's lecture because I had wanted to learn a little bit more about disaster medicine. And I think that attending the incident command meetings was also helpful in guiding the residents in their projects.
And so you actually worked one-on-one with the 3rd and 4th years, and then later on there were 1st and 2nd year students. Do you feel like this worked well even for the 1st and 2nd years, that they were able to keep up and come up with ideas?
Absolutely. I think that their approach to solutions might have been a little bit different, just with the 3rd and 4th years knowing somewhat more about how the ins and outs of the hospital work. But the group that I had with 1st and 2nd year students was definitely able to come up with some great and unique solutions as well.
Can you give us some examples of problems that they identified and, you know, potential solutions that they came up with, just as an example?
Yeah, they had a lot of really awesome ideas. One of my favorite ones that is coming to fruition is a donning and doffing app. So in the hospital, outside every unit or room, you're supposed to have someone help you don and doff your PPE. And there's a checklist of like 20 steps to get it on and off right. And you don't always have a dedicated person for it. So they made this app where you could go through and check off all the different steps. So anyone, you know, you're walking down the hall, you can grab anyone to watch you do it. I thought that was a pretty cool and creative idea. They did a lot of things with employee health, with notification of test results, trying to expedite that. I think what were the other projects, Dara, that were really innovative?
Temperature screening upon arrival to the ED to minimize exposure of patients with respiratory symptoms to patients without respiratory symptoms, and also to improve the time from presentation to being evaluated by a provider in the ED.
Let's go through each week and talk more about the deliverables and, you know, who is in charge of reviewing the deliverables, how is that working? So it sounds like week 1, they're assigned to their groups, they're going through some of the modules, they have the lectures, and then what is the deliverable at the end of that week?
So there's 2 deliverables at the end of the week. The first is a process charter, which is sort of like a basic QI decision-making tree for identifying a problem. And the second is they had a written problem synopsis where they had to identify a specific measurable and stretchable problem from one of the articles that they read, and then sort of explain their process of that. So that was 2 written deliverables for week 1. And those got graded by the group facilitators and myself.
And they would do that assignment together as a group?
Yeah, all the assignments were group assignments.
Week 2, it looked like more of a literature review. They received some feedback. They start to think about a potential intervention for the problem. What's the deliverable for that week?
Yeah, so the 2nd week is a written literature review as well as a process map to help them really break down what's happening inside this problem. And the literature review is a little bit different than a typical literature review because we're, you know, sort of what's going on around us is so novel. They included things like interviews with critical people from incident command, things that were happening at other hospitals. So it wasn't just sort of a traditional literature review in the bibliography sense.
And then walk us through week 3 and 4.
So week 3 is when they really sit down and they design a whole PDSA cycle, including future plans for their project. And they develop all the materials they need. So forms, signs, teaching materials, anything like that that they would need for their data collection. They write up the whole PDSA cycle and submit it. And then week four is a symposium where they take the feedback where they got in weeks 1, 2, and 3, finalize their whole project, and then they do a written paper and then present that in a mini research symposium to all of the other groups. So in addition to having the different parts graded by the group facilitators, they also had to evaluate all of the other groups in the symposium and provide them with feedback, and then do peer-to-peer evaluations for their group mates.
And so when they're meeting each week, I'm assuming that's all virtual, and the meetings with the group facilitators virtual, the presentations are virtual.
Everything is totally virtual, yep.
And do you feel like that format worked well, or were there any barriers to doing it virtually?
I think that worked well. They seem to really like it for the group work. In terms of the group facilitators, I think when we initially started, I didn't set up or encourage enough meetings between the group facilitators and the students. So for the second time around, we had them do more meetings with the group facilitators, and that was very well received.
Was there any other feedback that you received from the first iteration that you then made some changes for the second one, or anything that you've heard of from your second group that you might change things moving forward?
I think probably just the amount of face time with the faculty was the biggest one for group one. And I think some of that was born out of being isolated. I think that students are really looking for a connection to the medical school and to each other. So increasing that face-to-face time, well, I guess not truly face-to-face, increasing the amount of virtual time was important for them. And then I think in the second iteration, the feedback that we provided to each group as they were going through week one, week two, and week three was probably a little bit more detailed on our end, because we had already had the experience of knowing what was happening from the first group.
And what does the future of this curriculum look like? Are you taking more students each month?
So now that at University of Maryland, we have students back in the wards, not the COVID wards, but the regular general medicine and surgery wards, we've paused the selective for now, but we will probably end up bringing it back in the fall, I would guess, as they end up having to do more remote things.
And are there any plans to bring this to other groups like residents or fellows?
So we have not yet brought it to any other groups. I think it would be really a nice thing to bring to residents as well, but we haven't had to do that yet. There's still a lot to be in the hospital for right now.
Yeah, no, it sounds like a great opportunity, you know, maybe for somebody who, you know, can't be in the clinical environment for health reasons or is just interested in learning more about QI. I just love how hands-on it is. And at the end, they really have a tangible product and, you know, perhaps even a scholarly project out of this month-long experience. So any advice that you have for others who are interested in creating a similar elective?
I think definitely taking what you already have and adapting it yields good results. So starting with something that works well already and not feeling like you are obligated to create something totally from scratch really worked well from us. And then I think having a good virtual platform. We used Microsoft Teams, which worked really nicely for this. Having a really solid tech setting worked well.
I realize I forgot to ask you about the grading structure, how you evaluated students in this curriculum. So you have all those deliverables, and then how did you decide on grades or pass-fail?
So we made this pass-fail, and then they were graded on their actual project submissions, and then a portion of their grade was also based on their feedback from group members, which we anonymized and returned to them. And it was about 80% was graded from rubrics for the actual deliverables, and then another 20% was peer assessments of their final presentation and from their group mates.
Great. And are there any plans to assess the curriculum? So any pre and post testing that was done, or satisfaction surveys, ways that you can evaluate learning as a result of your program?
Yeah, so we use the QuiCat-R, which is as a pre and post test, which has standard QI problems. which the students completed at the very beginning of the course and at the end. And then we also had them complete a survey on their thoughts on the course. The data looked actually really good. They had a really nice improvement in their QI knowledge from the beginning to the end. And the survey results were they're all happy with the virtual setup. They're happy to be involved in a curriculum, and they liked all the detailed deliverables, and the very clear expectations was definitely important to them since they were so remote from us.
It would be interesting to see, maybe even at a 6-month follow-up, like how many of these plans have resulted in real change, and, you know, how often do we ever get at that level of learning from any curricula? So very impressed by what you've put together.
Thanks. Yeah, we were excited about it.
Dr. Farber, any other thoughts that you have about being a group facilitator? Perhaps you can tell us a little bit more about the time commitment. You know, is this something that was pretty feasible to do despite your clinical responsibilities?
I think that it was a reasonable time commitment, probably just a few hours a week. I was definitely able to commit to it in addition to my clinical responsibilities. The fact that it was totally virtual actually made it easier to do so because I could review their deliverables online when I had, you know, the time away from the hospital to do so. And then, like Kate said, having more face-to-face interaction with them the second time probably increased the time commitment just slightly, but it was nice to have more virtual face-to-face meetings via Zoom with them rather than just read their project submissions and then email them back. But I would say overall, it was really fun. It was really interesting to see all of the great ideas that they came up with, and definitely worth the time commitment.
Well, thank you so much for sharing this unique idea with our listeners. I would encourage everybody to think about ways to get students involved. And I think this remote elective is a really wonderful way to teach quality improvement in the current setting. So thank you for sharing your ideas. With every podcast episode, I like to close with the same question of my guests. So I'll ask you each to answer this question. What teaching pearl or piece of advice would you like to leave us with today?
I think that in the setting of a pandemic, I think flexibility is critical, regardless of whether you're creating a learning curriculum for medical students or you're working at the bedside with residents. Remaining flexible and being adaptable in the face of all of these changes and altered requirements has been really important, and I think is going to be critical going forward.
I think sharing your struggles and successes with your learners is very important, especially in light of the pandemic that we have going on around us. I think that being able to connect with your learners on a more personal level, especially when things are so remote, can be really helpful in the learning process. And so kind of learning along with your learners and being transparent with them has been very helpful for me.
Well, those are great pieces of advice, and I wanted to thank you both, Dr. Farber, Dr. Donahue, for taking time to be here today. I just have so much respect and admiration for you both. We're all at similar stages in our careers, and you definitely, you know, keep me inspired, and just thank you so much for taking time today.
Thank you.
Please send any comments or suggestions to teachinginmedicinepodcast@gmail.com. Please like us on Facebook and Instagram, and follow us on Twitter @teachinginmed.